from Quite the Thing Media.
August 2nd, 2021. Jeff, aka Podcast Father, releases an episode of his show Indie Podcaster featuring a very special guest, Robin Warder of The Trail Went Cold. So I guess you could say, The Trail Went... Actually, The Trail did not go cold at all. In fact, we actually talked about quite a bit of stuff. You see, that's what's special about Podcast Father. He shares the great things that content creators such as myself are doing and pulls back the curtain on your favorite podcasters. So be sure to check out Indie Podcaster to learn more about the folks behind the microphone.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? Yeah. You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
Welcome to a brand new month of episodes of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. Leah Jones from She Will Rock You podcast joins me. What's going on, Leah?
Hello, everyone listening to this in the future.
Do you go by Leah or Leah, preferably?
Leah is my legal name, but you would be surprised at the amount of people who say it's Leah, right? And I'm just like, sure. And then they get like offended for me when they find out they get it wrong. I'm like, no, I really don't mind at this point because I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
That's actually where I was going to go. How did you know that? Damn it. Give you a minute though.
No one has ever made that joke before.
I bet.
That was very sarcastic, but yeah. I do love it.
You're quite the sarcastic person. You and your friend. Anyways, tell us about you and your friend's podcast. I love it.
That's what makes our podcast so great. It's fueled by sarcasm. Yeah, our show, we've been interviewed by Podcast Father, so go check that out if you want to learn way more about it. But we are a comedy rock history podcast. We tell each other about artists that were famous before we were born, and we do it in a funny way.
But yet in a very educational, informative way. And one of the things that, you know, like we've talked about this, Leah, I absolutely love how it spotlights some great things that women have done in rock and roll history that normally maybe aren't as mainstream as far as being known.
Yes, that is one of our favorite things to cover as well. If anyone out there wants an episode to start with our Bonnie Raitt episode, because she does not get the credit that she deserves.
Did you say Toby Keith? No, I'm just kidding.
He will never make an appearance on our show. Sorry.
Do you like that one song? How do you like me now? You know what I'm talking about?
Younger me definitely did listen to that because I live in Virginia and that's like our genre of music that we listen to down here. But it's nothing I've listened to by choice after the age of 16.
You said West Virginia? No, I'm just kidding. People in Virginia. I found out that people in Virginia absolutely hate if you say they're from West Virginia. Anyway.
It works the opposite way too, though. People in West Virginia hate when you think they're from Virginia. One of my best friends is from West Virginia. It's a friendly rivalry.
Them dang Virginians. Anyways, we are here today to talk about an interview that I had, a chat that I had with Aaron from Generation Y podcast. Have you listened to them throughout the years? Because they've been around for, heck, almost 10 years.
I'm ashamed to admit that I have followed them on Spotify, but I don't think I've ever actually listened to an episode until like today. I didn't get to it. I started it and then I had to get distracted, but it's in my queue. I've specifically found an episode on Virginia Beach. So I'm going to listen to it tomorrow. I promise. But I'm really excited because I love a good true crime podcast.
And the cool thing about these guys, they have been a really big influence in the true crime podcast. I'm going to say boom, because I talked to like some podcasters like Robin Warder or Captain from True Crime Garage. Those people mentioned these guys at Generation Y podcast. And that really says something to how big of an influence they've had in this game.
That's awesome. Love a trailblazing podcast.
Well, we know how big true crime is now.
Yes. You can't escape it. It's going to follow you everywhere.
It's kind of like a weird thing to like call it true crime, right? Because there's a lot of true crime shenanigans that I've been a witness to. Somebody busting my mailbox and, you know, still in my trash barrel and stuff. That's the kind of true crime I deal with. But nevertheless, the true crime podcast world is absolutely huge and I love it. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows that. So I'm super excited to share this conversation with you today. And Leah's promised she's going to catch up on this podcast. I'm going to hold you to that.
Tomorrow. I have time to listen to pods tomorrow. I promise.
She will rock you tomorrow. Let's go ahead and jump into this conversation. But before we do that, I'm going to take care of a little business. This podcast lives on engagement from you listeners. I absolutely love all of you. And if you aren't already, please do contact me. You can do that on Twitter at podcast_father or by email thepodcastfather@gmail.com. Also have a little contact section on my website, podcastfather.com. If you'd be so kind to, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you listen to your podcast on. This podcast and myself are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. Quite the Thing Media, a community-based podcast network full of all independent content creators. Podcasts that speak to you, so make sure you check it out, quitethethingmedia.com. All the music on this podcast is credited to the independent artist, Young Cart. So check it out, youngcartbeats.com. We've got some amazing sponsors on this podcast, and one of them is Podpage, the perfect place to make your podcast website. All of the link trees are great and all, but it doesn't really get you that CEO that you need, that digital trail that's also critical when you're a content creator. What do you want people to find when they search your podcast? It's very important to have an actual real podcast website. And the WordPresses are so difficult to set up and use. No. Podpage is the way to go. Tons of integrations make this a super easy process. So many different great features. You can range from packages for free clear up to the ones with all the gifts and gadgets that are incredible. But regardless, this is a simple way to make your podcast website. I'll tell you what, you go on podpage.com right now, you use the promo code FATHER in all caps, you get $20 off the package of your choice. Podpage.com. Indie Drop-In is a fantastic thing and a great sponsor of this podcast. Are you a podcaster that has a true crime, paranormal, scary, or even a comedy podcast, and you want to drop it in a legitimate feed and gain new listenership? Man, I tell you what, Indie Drop-In is a great resource for that. You can be featured in an episode. Your product can go out on an established podcast feed with established listeners already. Make sure you get online on indiedropin.com/creators and check it out. All right, now that fun is all over, let's jump into this interview and have a hell of a good time doing it. How cool is this? I've got one of the original true crime guys, Aaron from Generation Y Podcast, joins me. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing great. Hopefully you're doing great.
Oh, I'm doing all right. It's a Friday here when we're recording this, which is the busiest day at my work. I'm trying to get everything possible done before the weekend hits.
Yeah, it's my day off, so it's an excellent day.
I got to get into what you're doing. Friday's supposed to be the best day of the week.
That's why they call it Friday.
Absolutely. I like that. Like I was telling you here before we started recording, it's just awesome that I get to have this conversation with you. Talking with, you know, several people that have been in the true crime genre and podcasting for a while, Captain, Warder, Robin Warder. Everybody just has such great things to say about all the ground that you and Justin have set and really helped set this whole true crime thing in motion. You're really highly thought of.
Well, we appreciate that.
I think we're all just thankful for you guys. So again, thanks. Let's go ahead and jump into things a little bit. You and Justin have been at this for, well, nearly a decade now, before we saw a big boom in the true crime world, as far as the genre goes, you know, investigation, discovery, serial, all that. You and Justin were at this long before any of that. So walk us through how that all started, because it's just crazy to think about how you just got ahead of the curve.
Well, I can certainly speak to this. When we first started recording, we wanted to record Justin's story about serving on a jury for a first-degree murder trial here in Kansas City. And that really was the basis for starting the podcast. He wanted to tell people about it. He knew I listened to podcasts. I don't think he had really been into podcasts at that point, maybe dabbled. And the question came down to, do you want to start a podcast? And he said, yes. we had already recorded a couple of music albums in the past, so we were sort of familiar with recording and editing. But man, I'll tell you what, getting into this was a whole different animal. And the thing about it was, we weren't sure about even where we belonged. There was no true crime category until just a few years ago, when it came to podcasts anyway. And when we started podcasting, we were covering a variety of topics, not just true crime. And it was because Justin has a lot to say about things that happen in society and about the culture. And so we were kind of just throwing everything in. I've been a longtime true crime fan ever since I watched In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy back in the day and watching Unsolved Mysteries. So that was the basis of everything at that point. But we didn't have any peers. And when you looked around the world of podcasting, there was only one podcast that I could find that covered true crime. And that was Dan Supansky's True Murder. And he interviews authors. So then there we were covering cases and stuff. And, you know, I'd say about 30 episodes in, we were solidly covering true crime because for the most part, because that's what people wanted to hear. They would send us feedback and say, well, I kind of disagree with this point you made, but on the other hand, I loved hearing about a true crime case, you know, in my ears while I worked. So that's where we started building on making this more of a true crime podcast. And it was just really an empty space. And over time it filled thanks to really Serial.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Serial is absolutely huge. And I think the other big thing was technology, right? Like Apple getting that actually on their phone implemented, but nobody was using the word podcast.
No, you had to explain to people what a podcast was. And so here I am saying it's like a radio show on the internet, but you choose when to start and stop it.
Perfect. That's exactly how I had to explain it when I was in it. Internet radio.
Yeah. Now you don't have to do that. Have you noticed that? It's just, you just tell them you have a podcast and like, oh, okay, cool. What is it?
Yeah, it seems like most people do know what it is. Maybe the people that are senior citizens, some of them don't, if I can classify them as that. But this whole thing used to be a thing for the indies, right? But now it's really gone mainstream. You see major celebrities getting involved. But you're correct. For the most part, except for people that are older, everybody knows what it is.
Well, we definitely have some older listeners who are in their 70s, and some of them regularly write in. And some of them have been in some very interesting lines of work as teachers or attorneys. You know, overall, though, they are in a minority.
A lot of people listening to this aren't familiar with you and Justin's, you know, relationship and dynamic, that whole backstory. Can you walk us through that for a minute?
Well, I'm not surprised if someone hasn't heard of us. And it's funny because I just had a conversation with Justin 3 or 4 weeks ago about this. And he said, Aaron, how would people not know about us? We were the first. And by that, he means the first, you know, like people just talking about true crime. And I said, that doesn't mean that they know. It's not like when you start getting into podcasts, they hand you a little manual about the history of it. So it was funny. We actually met other podcasters and people since then who are telling us, we don't know who you are. Can you tell us more about you? So really it's Justin and I, we've been longtime friends since 1993. We actually met in Kansas City where we both live now. I had moved from Michigan to here at the end of 92. And he's really the first person that I befriended. And it turned out over time, we had a lot of similar interests. And so this podcast is us, these two friends, really breaking down our opinions and theories on cases, whether they're murders or mysteries or controversies.
It's funny that you say, you know, some people don't know, because I got a quick funny story for you. This guy I follow on Twitter, he does a podcast club every week. And how he decides who the podcast is going to be, he posts it and whoever comments and whoever gets the most like on that comment, that's the podcast. Knowing he hates true crime, I made sure to hijack the voting and make sure you guys win. But I did that to make sure he had to cover it, understanding that you guys were really the original true crime people. I thought it'd be a good experience for him.
Well, that's pretty amusing. Hopefully he likes our show.
Like I said, I wanted to make sure that he got to hear somebody who was one of the first people to really get going on this big true crime podcast thing. You guys are one of the originals, if not, you know, some would say the original. And it's important to take that in and give it a shot and listen, understanding how big that genre is now. It's always good to go back and hear some of the people that are originals.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. And the great thing about it is there are all kinds of podcasts in that space, and they all have kind of their own thing going on. And you know, the way Justin and I approach it is we like to approach it with a lot of care and concern and seriousness, which, you know, that's not going to reach as many people as, say, other podcasts might reach with their sense of humor. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the more entertaining you are, the more people you'll reach. But I'm recalling back when we started, we've had people who were families or relatives of the people we're discussing reach out to us. And some of those people I've actually talked with on the phone, and it's just something else hearing from them. And so no matter, you know, what our audience size is, we just have the way we do it. And so if you hear any humor on our show, it's very random and rare, probably, because we just get so serious talking about these cases.
We'll get back to the show piece here in a minute, but I do want to ask about your youth growing up. Were there different shows and activities and different things that you kind of played with as a child that got you into this? I'm probably boring my listeners to death with this, but I always like to tell the story and about how I owned one of them Home Alone tape recorders when I was a kid, and I'd always pretend like I was basically making a radio station. I was very into that. Do you have any shows or examples like that or something that was influential to you as a kid?
Well, I think if I look back, I can find several things. A couple of them I've already referenced with In Search Of and with Unsolved Mysteries. But when I was really young, I used to record, I guess you could say, radio plays with my brother, my older brother. And we would have this tape recorder and we would just hit record and we would start acting out different things. We would do Star Wars. We'd make up our own stories. Sometimes we would make a story based on a TV show we've seen. So we would actually record the TV show and then use that as background audio when we were recording. So when the monster came in, we could suddenly start reacting and say, oh no, the monster's here. And I was doing that when I was pretty young, you know, probably 7, 8, 9 years old. And I still have those tapes.
I would love to hear that. But no, in all seriousness, to my point, I think a lot of us had those kind of things that go way back that made us who we are today. And, you know, and why we're doing this podcasting thing.
Yeah, I think there's always been a love of audio with me. And I'm one of those guys, you know, I have a 4K setup at home with surround sound. I love movies, but my absolute favorite thing is audio. And I've collected probably thousands of old time radio shows. And I'm an absolute fanatic about music. This all just goes together for me, the audio.
Unsolved Mysteries. I think for a lot of us, that was just a really big, inspiring thing that we had a deep interest in. Unsolved Mysteries, just amazing.
Robert Stack, just his whole persona, the way he could deliver the story to you, it was absolutely riveting. And I loved how you didn't know what you were going to get into on these episodes. They would have missing persons cases, mysterious deaths. They would even cover unidentified flying objects or possibly lake monsters. So it was always entertaining and informational.
You know, I'm glad to see that the show is back on, you know, Netflix series, but it's not quite as good as the original was. But for more or less for me, it's like, I'm glad it's back. It might not be the best thing ever, but maybe people will go back and watch the old ones. Some things are similar, just all in all, it's not as good.
Well, the great thing is they have some people that have worked on the series all along still there. And so I think that's important. The other thing was, is they couldn't replace Robert Stack. I know sometime later was the early 90s. They had another actor come in who did a fine job and his name slips my mind at the moment, but they just didn't want to try that again. And especially with this resurgence of interest in Robert Stack's led series. And they decided to cut out the host altogether. And I think that works for now. You never know. I mean, in the future, they might get another host. Someone else might come along who just works.
Might be you, Aaron.
Well, you know, it's funny. If I ever got that call, which I doubt would happen, but if I did, I would have to call Robin Warder up immediately and brag to him and say, I don't know why they chose me, man. But yeah, you'll have to tune in when it starts up and, you know, this fall or whatever.
Can you imagine the look on his face? He's always wanted that ever since he made the original The Trail Went Cold videos.
Yeah, that is his absolute favorite thing ever to watch, I believe, apart from baseball.
Little known secret, he's also really into pro wrestling. I don't know if that's like public knowledge or anything, but I do know that.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be airing his secrets, but
Robin, if you're listening, I'm truly sorry, my friend. seriously, though, what's incredible about what Robin Warder does, he's able to make this podcast where he is the one sitting there recording by himself. I have mad respect for that. I tried that back in the day. Did not work out for me. That is a heck of a challenge. So kind of segueing, you and Aaron have this great dynamic and relationship that you can really tell while you're listening to your show. You each kind of play your own roles on the show, and they're both significant parts that make the podcast what it is, a damn good podcast. Can you explain those dynamics you guys have a little bit?
Well, it just depends on if you're talking about the actual recording or the other side of it. When it comes to recording, we actually don't really know what we're doing when we start. And what I mean by that is, all we know is Justin will sort of introduce the case, and then I will set up the scenario and we'll go from there. We don't know which one of us will do more talking, because that usually ends up happening. But there's this sense of...
What I'm referring to more or less is personality-wise. Can you explain the difference there?
I would say Justin is more boisterous, and so he will vary in his tone, or his personality will even like rise and fall as he talks about the case. Sometimes he'll start to sound kind of somber. Other times he'll start getting kind of loud and animated. I'm generally the same tone throughout.
Well, in my opinion, that's what makes it work. You really do have to have a little bit of both to put it all together.
And that's really a benefit to the show, because I've done a series where I'm the only host, but there's something about having Justin there where we can talk to each other. And the fact that most of the time we don't even know what our opinions are going into a case, it's interesting to see how we react to one another when we start talking about those opinions.
You said the other side, and the other side can vary. By the other side, we mean behind the scenes stuff. Can you explain what you're going to with that one?
Well, right. And so we both have research, and we read over that research and we use it as we go along, because, you know, back in the day, and we've now had episodes 1 through 88 are pulled from our feed, and we've had people asking about them, but those are episodes where we didn't have research right next to us. We would have notes that were in a notebook, but we didn't have that research right there to make sure that we got a date right or a city right. So as we were going along, we'd have these little thing, and you know, things will always happen no matter what you do, but the preparation that we have these days is a lot better than we had back then. So no matter how well researched we were, nowadays we try to stay on point, and we're able to do that much more efficiently than we did back in the day. So really, this comes down to, we both prepare, we show up, we start talking, and eventually, you know, we do give to the other side. So Justin might be talking for a bit, and then he'll either defer to me or he'll stop speaking so I can jump in. We really try not to talk over each other.
You guys do a great job of not talking over each other. Talking about the research part, going back to 2005, when my friend and I had our first podcast, we were doing something similar to what you're doing, but at a much more like regional, local level to where we lived. But back then, it was really hard to find information on the internet. Over 10 years in, after the big internet boom and everything, but the database just wasn't nearly the same as it is today, back in 2005. Now, you guys are going back 10 years. There's still been a big difference since the internet came out. Tons of information now, but still wasn't as much then there is now. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, it's totally clear to me. I mean, as you look nowadays, you can even join newspapers.com or something. They're not a sponsor. And you can look all the way back to dates long, long, long ago. And I think it's amazing, because now you and I, or anyone else, we can connect to the past in a way that people couldn't before. You would rely on someone's memory. You know, you might ask your grandparent or parent about something that happened. Now you can just go to those newspaper accounts from back when, and you can pull up anything from the New York Times to the Boston Herald or whatever exists out there.
Yeah, I mean, the internet's been around for 20 years, but it's still taken a long time to build that database. I do want to ask a question about your podcast. How far along do you think you were before you started really, you know, you and Justin started really thinking, we've caught on to something really good here. People are really enjoying it. You know, like, what point did you think we are way more popular than we ever thought we would be?
Well, what happened was, for the first so many months, we actually got 30 to 50 people listening, which we thought was amazing. And it took a while, but over time, more and more people found us. But like I said, it wasn't until Serial came along that it exploded. I mean, I think we reached a pretty good number. We were pretty high up as far as podcasts go with number of listeners for a while. But when Serial hit, it really just brought in a huge number of people into that true crime space. And so our numbers jumped a lot higher than they were before, even though they were pretty good.
That's awesome. And you're still rocking and rolling. I think last time I checked, you were cracking the top 100 on Apple Podcasts still. Remarkable. What are some other things that you did back in the day before Serial came along to reach out and build the community? I know I did a lot of online forums and blogs back in the day. What about you?
Well, I think really what it came down to was our Facebook page. The Facebook page, I think, was really where we started interacting with the audience. And then we also had a blog on our first website where people could post comments.
I'm going to take a minute here to tell you about a fine sponsor of this podcast, Indie Drop-In. If you're a true crime, paranormal, scary, or comedy podcaster looking to find new listeners, consider submitting an episode to be featured on Indie Drop-In shows. If your episode meets some minimum requirements, Indie Drop-In will play your episode to real listeners. The best part is the listeners like your show. Indie Drop-In provides easy links for them to subscribe. It's 100% free. You get to drop your feed into a established feed that already has actual, real listeners. This is great, guys. This is an amazing way to grow your audience. These listeners are already there. They listen to your episode on Indie Drop-In feed. They will go over and find your podcast and become a subscriber and love it. Greg, the creator of Indie Drop-In, just absolutely loves being involved in the independent podcast community. He is a great podcast mind. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Indie Drop-In. But more importantly, go to indiedropin.com/creators. Get the submission going and submit an episode of your podcast into the Indie Drop-In feed. Hurry now. Get to it. Yeah, we kind of did a similar thing with MySpace. So that's a pretty good comparison with the Facebook, which is really similar to blogs and forums. So, I mean, it makes sense. What are some other things that you guys did back then? Because there weren't exactly a bunch of how-to guru podcasting specialists out there sharing information on how to connect to audiences, how to build communities. You see a whole lot of stuff like that today. Not so much back then.
Yeah, it's really tricky because there's so much to know. And I feel like these days, if you start a podcast, you can actually see better what you need to be doing. If you're one of the pioneers, like we were, you didn't have a roadmap. Do you know what I mean? Like no one came along and said, here are all the things you should consider while you're when you're doing this.
You say pioneer, I say OG, which sounds pretty damn cool, right? But you're right, though. It really does work both ways. But I do think these days it's much harder in the true crime space to break through. A lot of the true crime podcasts that we see that are breaking through and doing great have figured out how to become and are very niche. And I'll give you an example. Brett and Alice from the Prosecutors Pod, obviously very niche, both real life prosecutors. Their podcast is doing great and I love both of them and the podcast, but niche seems to be key in the true crime space.
Well, the downside to starting today is I think it's even more difficult to break through, although some are doing it. I have listened to an episode of the Prosecutors Pod, and they do a great job. That's a really good podcast. But when you start today, I think you have a better idea about all the things you should consider when you're doing this. So that comes with, say, social media, the interaction with the listeners, how regularly you post. There are so much you can know today that, you know, Justin and I, we didn't know back in the day. We were just sort of, you know, feeling around the dark. So even though we might be considered OGs, we were starting at a time where it was almost like we were using, bone clubs, you know, and flint arrows, because they just, that, you know, the knowledge wasn't there at the time. So, you know, and that's what I had told people for years when they would write in and say, we want to start a podcast. I would say, here's what you should know. And I would tell them about the equipment they needed, et cetera. And even give them the options, because not everybody wants to use a handheld recorder or an XLR mic, what have you. But nowadays, it's really easy just to get started. There are so many guides available and so many people who have already done it that can help you. So there are benefits to starting now. It's just, I think it was easier to break through if you started between when we started in 2012 and 2015.
100% agree with you, Aaron. Starting a podcast today is very easy. There's platforms that actually, their whole advertising campaign is how easy it is. But going back to the niche thing, I think the niche thing is what sets the rest apart, though, because there are so many.
Right. And part of the niche thing, too, is finding your own voice. So we're good friends with the True Crime Garage guys, and we respect the heck out of them, but they have their own style. Do you know what I mean? And the only way you get to that style is you kind of have to really embrace who you are as people. And that's one thing that was difficult when we started. We would sort of let our personalities out, but we'd get a lot of criticism. Like, why are you guys saying this? And why is Justin laughing after he said that? But I think nowadays the audience has grown in understanding that these are personalities and that they are trying to tell you a story and talk about things. And so there's a lot more understanding these days. But back then, that was our early onslaught of feedback, was either, oh my God, this show is amazing, or why do you guys say this and why do you guys do that? Because it was new.
I agree with you on the True Crime Garage thing. I'm a massive fan. Speaking with Captain, he has a lot of respect for you too. But with Captain, I don't think people give him near enough respect.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I've spent a lot of time around him, but that's a guy with a lot of skill and talent. And I don't know if that always comes through, but for anyone who has spent time with him in person, you'll know he's a lot more complicated than the color commentary guy you might hear on his show. He's very knowledgeable about cases. He's very respectful when he debates cases, and he's a heck of a musician.
He's a great musician. Absolutely. Their personalities are huge and great, and they play a big part of the podcast. But what goes unknown is how much work he puts into the music and editing and all that. It's such a huge part of that podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. And everybody's got to find their own style. So for Justin and I, there's a certain thing that we've always tried to do, which was we try to keep our format to about under an hour. We will go over that at times, but we try to keep it under an hour because we don't want to get away from the core things that make up that case that we're discussing. So hopefully when people listen, they can remember the details we've given them and they can discuss it later. Deep dives are incredible. I have another show that I do, Framed, an investigative story. You know, each season is 10 episodes, and that's a real deep dive that Jake and I take on those cases.
It's interesting that you bring up the length, because a lot of people that are just getting into podcasting, when they reach out to me, they ask me that, how long should my podcast be? That seems to be a big thing. But I'm thinking if I did a true crime podcast, it would be way too long. I would go down way too many rabbit holes. Do you have a length preference for a podcast you're listening to?
Well, as far as rabbit holes, that's another thing we encourage our listeners to do is, you've heard the case from us, now go read up on it. Start looking into it. And because sometimes we might not find one detail as important as they do. And so they can start looking up information on that and see if it leads them anywhere. And then, of course, we can hear from them later if they've discovered something they think we should have gone into more detail with. But as far as what I listen to, I was listening to podcasts a lot when we started doing this show, but I was listening to science podcasts. I'm really into science. So I would listen to skeptic podcasts or shows about the universe or biology, you name it. But over time, yes, getting into true crime, and with there being, I think, 1,000 such podcasts today or something like that, I have listened to a number of them. And so I think I prefer shows that are about an hour, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't listen to something longer or shorter. I mean, Criminal often puts out shows that are, what, 24, 30 minutes. So I think you can do a lot with less or a lot with more. It just depends on what you're looking for and the mood you're in. Sometimes, you know, you might have a longer commute, so a longer podcast will fit in there better. But if you're just going for a quick jog or a walk or something, say for 30, 40 minutes, then maybe Generation Y would fit that better.
This is a great conversation to have with somebody like you with all the experience that you have. Really valuable for podcasters. My audience, my listeners, my community that's listening to this podcast is at least 50% content creators. And that is a thing that a lot of them want to know about. So what you're saying, really, content is king. The length will match up to the circumstance or whatever people are looking for. Different day brings different things upon in our life. Could mean a different length of podcasts. simple terms, you could be in the mood for something else depending on what you got going on that day.
There are episodes that we put out, and ours are typically, I want to say, about 51 minutes long. And then you have other shows that are about an hour and 25 minutes long. They both have audiences. So the length isn't the problem. You will find people will say, oh, I'm not listening to it if it's over an hour. And then someone else will say, if it's not over an hour, I don't know if I want to listen to it. I think you should listen to all of it because everybody's got their own styles. So when you find a podcast that you're enjoying or that you get something out of, then that's all that's important. And I do think people overthink it.
You hit the hammer on the nail here. I know the next thing I'm going to ask you is, could be open up a big can of worms. What are other things people overthink?
Well, that could be a big conversation, but I would say one of the big ones is I think people overthink, will I be good enough? Will people want to hear me? And I can tell you, one of the shows I've listened to for years, the host always says that she hates her own voice, but I mean, I really like her voice. And I told her, you have listeners, and she'll laugh and say, well, not that many, but really, you know, we're going to be our own worst critics. So I would never think too much about how you feel about yourself. If this is something you want to do, you just need to start doing it and your audience will find you. And you will find, even if you think your own voice is not that great, there are people out there who will like your voice.
I frequently get told that I have the voice of an angel. I'm just kidding. I've really never been told that. Moving on, though, engagement's such a really important piece in all this and getting, you know, listeners to converse with you more. And it's kind of like it's a personal connection. What are some basic common sense things that you think are most important when it comes to that engagement piece?
Yeah, that's something that I don't know that we've ever been the best at, but I do know that it matters that you respond to people. And if you don't respond to people, which has happened, I think our weak spot has always been the email, because you can get flooded with emails and it's difficult to keep up. But online, if someone writes to you, especially, and I'm not going to give a name or anything, but we've had people write in and say, I just had a horrible car accident last year, and I've been in the hospital for many weeks, and your show helped save me because I thought I was going to die of boredom and I was worried about my health, but this distracted me and it really got me through a tough time. You need to respond to people like that because they're giving you credit. Even if you might think, I don't know what I could have done to help you, this is something that you need to show appreciation for because they're taking the time to write. And in this society, most of the time when people are writing or talking, it's because they're complaining. So if you get these positive messages, you should certainly latch onto them and respond, because these people that listen to you, they probably will stay with you if they've just gotten some interaction from you. They feel more connected to you.
Do you respond to the negative ones?
I have. One of my favorite ones that I would bring up is there was an older gentleman who was very upset about a case we covered. We had said something during our discussion that he didn't care for, and he wanted to write in and tell us that he absolutely hated us now, would never listen to us again. And I can't tell you exactly what we had said, but I responded because I felt like we didn't do the wrong thing. We didn't say the wrong thing. And so I said, sorry, you didn't like the episode. We certainly never mean any disrespect, but here was what we were thinking. And hopefully you'll think about that. And he ended up writing me, I guess, 8 months later, and just saying that he had gone through a rough time when he wrote to us, and that he was very, very sorry, and that he was a fan for life, and he really appreciated that I took the time to write him back.
Incredible turn of events, man, for sure.
And you know, you can't always use honey to bring people around. There are some people who decide, for whatever reason, not to like you, that, you know, your gut will tell you this isn't going to be worth it, so just delete the email. Delete the message, because there are some people that are just really angry and there's nothing you can do to make them feel better. And we should feel fortunate that these are first world problems and that we're not worried about where we're getting water from.
Yeah, some people worry about all the wrong things and there's nothing you can do about that. With podcasting, collaborating is a really big thing. Who are the first people that you remember collaborating with, whether they be just people that had knowledge on a case or just a podcaster maybe?
Ooh, well, that could get me in trouble if I don't remember correctly. I honestly don't remember, but I do know that it felt like True Crime Garage was the first time that we actually really collaborated with somebody. We have collaborated with authors in the past, or researchers, but that was, I think True Crime Garage might really be the ones we've collaborated with first and the most, because it just seems like we mesh well together.
Those are always really fun episodes. Sounds like a boyhood dream to me. Collaborating is a great way to mix things up as well.
Yeah, and it also, you know, for a show like ours or for theirs, where you're working with the same person all the time, it helps break it up a little bit, and it's kind of fun in that regard.
You talked about people that have reached out to you, listeners that loved what you're doing, then you had listeners that reached out to you that hated what you're doing. With what you're doing, the whole true crime thing, it has to be difficult. There's kind of a fine line between things, because there is the entertainment aspect. You are trying to be entertaining, but you are also dealing with situations and scenarios that are not pleasant. There are victims involved in all this, and it's tragedies. It's sad.
When I look back, we've had, I think, a couple of episodes in the past 4 years or so where we were contacted by somebody close to the case who was unhappy with us. And I won't say who, but one was upset because we actually didn't give enough details on their family member in the episode, which probably would have been less than kind to the person. But they felt like we should have said those things because we were giving not a full view of the case from their standpoint. So, you know, and that's tough, because how many details do you want to give out that might put someone in a bad light? And I get their point, but they were pretty upset about it. And I'm thinking, this is your family member. Do you really want us to say this? And I will say also that it wasn't the person who died. It wasn't the victim in the case, but it's those kinds of things that you can't predict. You know, you might think, well, we're approaching this from a very respectful point of view, but sometimes people don't see it that way.
You're also coming about it from a research standpoint. And I like to always ask true crime podcasters, how much time do you spend a week on the research? And is it challenging in the aspect of always doing the research on such violent things? That could probably get to you too and take control of you if you weren't careful.
Well, it can take a toll, but here's how I look at it. One, we're very grateful to be in the position we are, where we have a solid audience and we can do this. So that's got to be foremost and in our minds, because, you know, whenever you go to meet people or you're answering emails or messages or interacting with people at a meetup or a convention, that should be the first thought. Should be, I am grateful. I am lucky to be here. So that's something that should carry you through that conversation, that reply. Because the minute you start saying, well, I'm overworked or I'm run down, well, you're not going to be able to have a good interaction. I mean, how many times have you heard from someone who met maybe a music idol and were less than pleased with the interaction that they had? I can think of that. I remember meeting, I'm probably the biggest fan of this band, but Skinny Puppy, I've met both guys from the band, Ogre and Kevin Key, at different times. And my interaction with Ogre was great. He was very personable. He said, you know, you're awesome, man. Love you. Thank you so much. And I'm like, I just showed up and said hi. And then I met Kevin Key and he acted like he didn't really want to talk to me. But, you know, especially after doing this show, I realized how people can not be at their best all the time. So it's really important for creators to understand that your interaction can carry far into the future, far down the road. Yeah, just be grateful you have people that love what you do and try to be at your best for them. That's all I can tell you, is you're not always going to be at your best, but do your best.
That's great advice that I like to share as well. It doesn't matter if you have 100,000 people listening, 100 people listening, or 10 people listening. They do have value.
Yeah, and then the way I'd say to that is, everyone deserves that, whether it's your 10 listeners, 1,000 listeners, 200,000 listeners, whatever. They all deserve the respect and the appreciation.
You're referencing meeting up. Reminds me of CrimeCon. How early did you guys get in on the whole CrimeCon thing? Seems like a pretty cool place to be.
We were actually the first podcast to sign on with CrimeCon, which is pretty sweet.
Somehow I figured that.
So CrimeCon is great. It's, you know, we've had, I can't tell you how many offers over the years to be a part of something. And CrimeCon is definitely at the top of that list. When, if anybody asks me what opportunities sound like they were going to work, which ones didn't work, et cetera, I knew from the beginning that CrimeCon was going to work. Thought it was a great idea. Having spoken with the people that were behind the scenes on it, you could just tell that if they didn't already have it all figured out, they were well on their way. And having participated in every CrimeCon since it started, I can tell you they're doing a heck of a job. It's an event you should certainly be a part of if you can get to one.
I would love to be able to go to one of those one day. It seems like a pretty cool experience because podcast-wise, we always hear all these true crime podcasters' voices. It'd be awesome to be there and actually get to be able to see their faces. On top of that, you get to talk to a bunch of true crime fanatics and the fans, television world, podcasting world, and everything. Sounds like it'd just be a hell of an experience.
Well, just meeting everybody up there is great. And whether that's just someone who said, oh, I've listened to you guys for years, or I just started listening, or I'm going to check you out, I'm going to download your show, whatever it is, or just even meeting the personalities you might see on TV. There are so many out there that, you know, if you stop and think about it, all these people that you've seen or you've heard, many of them go to conventions. And I know ID has their own conventions. There's CrimeCon. Yeah, I've always had a great time. And it seems like most everyone puts on a happy face and they're just pleased as punch to be there. And, you know, the conversations you get into, sometimes people want to talk about the crimes. Sometimes they just want to talk about food or music.
I know there's a couple obvious ones, but do you have a go-to television channel or show for true crime?
Well, I think between Investigation Discovery and Oxygen, you probably don't need much else. Although I know HLN shows reruns of Forensic Files, which is fantastic. Yeah, Forensic Files is one of them.
I'm glad you brought up Forensic Files. I love Forensic Files. Good old school approach of a show.
And that was a shorter format too. They would cover a case in a half an hour. And it didn't mean that they always got them right, if you want to get down to the details on that. But they always did a great job presenting these cases and getting you into them. I mean, once again, like Robert Stack, the host of Forensic Files, just had a heck of a voice. There have been a lot of memes, I think, over the years from that, too.
I know what memes you're talking about, and I absolutely love those. Moving on here, to be honest with you, I'm getting to the point with my content creating where I'm starting to really move towards the mentor part, and I'm really doing things because I want to give back to the community. That means a lot to me. 16 years in, I want to take everything that I've learned, even though it's not, you know, near as much as the success that you've had, but I still think there's things that I can teach people and help them. That's why I started this podcast, Indie Podcaster. Highlight and promote great things all sorts of different content creators are doing, and also give some, you know, people a place where they can learn some. And that's where people like you mean a lot, because you have so much experience. Do people ask you for help a lot?
Well, we used to get a lot of questions. I think since there have been so many podcasts added to all these podcast apps, we don't get them as much or as often. But I think that's because anybody that's been podcasting for, say, a year, I think if you've been podcasting for a year, you've really learned a lot. So I think even if you find a podcast that has, say, 400 listeners or 800 listeners, and they've been around for over a year, they probably can answer a lot of questions. They've been through it. And it's hard to stay in this space because it takes a lot of work. I'm sure some people can do a lot less and put out more. But I think generally speaking, most people have to do a lot of work to keep their podcast going. So there should be that respect there for them just for hanging in there. And also if they're enjoying it, I've had podcasters tell me that they don't have a very big audience, but they have a small and passionate one, and that makes it worth their while. So it's like anything else. If you're doing something that makes you feel good or you feel is doing better for your life, that's what you need to be doing, because so many people go through life and don't find what makes them happy. It's kind of like that self-feedback. What are you doing for yourself? And this whole question, Justin and I have found that doing the podcast, it has enriched our lives. So I think you have to stick with it if you're getting something out of it. If you're trying it and it's just too much work and you aren't feeling positive, you aren't happy when people want to ask you questions, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
I'm going to reference Father Time here when I ask you this question. You're 10 years in, Aaron. How much longer do you got? 10, 20, 30 more years? Are you and Justin going to be those old guys doing the podcast on the porch in your 70s or what? What do you think?
I don't know, because I mean, I still have a day job. So working my day job, and I work for Ford Motor Company, I do that and I do the podcast. So it's a very busy situation I'm in. And I'm planning not to work the day job for too much longer. So we'll see. But I feel like this is something I still get a lot of enjoyment out of. I love the community, whether it's people who tune in and listen or a lot of the other podcasters. We already mentioned some of them, but just, you know, and that's another thing. I've met so many people I can just message, you know, if I have a question, or I can check and see how they're doing. You know, one is Charlie from Crime Lines. I could just text her. She lives in the same city we do. We've actually met her for lunch a couple of times, you know, and done a live event in 2020 with her. So just meeting the other podcasters and the people who listen, it's just, it's a heck of a community. And when you find your people like that, it just, it makes it that much easier to keep going. So if I had to put a number on it, it would be infinity right now, but obviously I won't live forever. So we'll see what happens down the road, but I think we could do another 10 years easy.
I understand what you're saying completely, because I feel that way with this, that the indie podcast community that I'm involved in, very close knit community, makes you really want to make sure you're giving back what you know, really to not only improve yourself, but more importantly, improve those other individuals in the community.
Yes. And that's what you've brought up a number of times, the community that connects people in ways that you wouldn't even see before you got into this. And so like, you know, you're meeting people all the time and you're making these connections and you just never know where it'll take you.
And you never know who's listening either. You really don't.
That's right. Yeah, you never know. Sometimes there'll be someone who you've known about, but you didn't think they were aware of you because you might think that they're bigger, more popular, et cetera. But then, you know, you find out that this person who has their own cooking show or as a comedian is listening to you. And that's kind of surprising.
I've only told you this like 100 times, man. I'm probably getting on your damn nerves, but I really appreciate everything you do. You and Justin both have done, and the content you create, and just how you've really established something great that's inspired a lot of people to start doing this.
Well, no, I appreciate it. I'm going to be checking out your podcast for sure.
That is a pretty cool feeling. But seriously, everybody, Justin and Aaron are great resources in this podcasting community.
Yeah, and if they want to know more, they can find out pretty much anything by going to genypod.com. That's genypod.com. That's our website. So you can find out where to listen to us or where to find more content.
Damn it, Aaron, you're so good. You beat me to it, man. You've done this before. Perfect segue, man.
Well, we just have added a bunch of things to our site lately. So, and that's really due to my wife, Cassandra. She's built our website, and over time it's only gotten better and better. And then we have a blogger named Lindsay, and she always puts up true crime articles every week. So there's a blog to read as well. So I feel really good about our website. And so I'd never hesitate to hand it out.
That will be in the show notes. So everybody listen and make sure you check out their website, Generation Y Podcasts, and their podcast, which is available, hell, wherever you can find your podcast. Thanks again, Aaron. We'll have to keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling a friend. More importantly, thanks for supporting independent content creators. I hope you get behind me with what I'm trying to do, highlighting great things all sorts of content creators and other interested individuals are doing. Join me on the next episode as I continue my journey as the indie podcaster.